Are you guys familiar with the resurrection eggs? No? Okay. Well, some of you are. Some of you have done the resurrection eggs before. And today, I took these eggs. Yes, ma'am. What? You want to sit? What do you say?
Addison.
Addison. Is that your name, Addison? Oh, hi, Addison. I'm Pastor Brian. How are you? Well, nice to meet you. You want to sit over there? Well, I've taken these resurrection eggs and I emptied them out and I put some new stuff in there for the message today. Adults, if you open up your bulletins, there's a sermon outline in there. And just follow right along. This is for both kids and you. And what I want to do today is, I know that today is Resurrection Sunday, or we also know as Easter, right? And what are we celebrating today? Well, Easter. What's the resurrection? What is the resurrection? You're right, Jesus raising up from the grave, right? And so we're celebrating the resurrection today, but this is also a good day for us to remember some other important events that happened in Jesus' life. There are lots of important events that happened in Jesus' life, right? Tanya, you can randomly pass these out if you would. Just to whoever. So today we're going to be looking at some different events of Jesus' life in remembrance of who he is. Was a unique person. You know what unique means? He was a very special person. You're all worried about who's getting the eggs and who aren't, huh? Jesus was a very special, what do you think, was Jesus a very special person?
Yeah.
He was. There's a lot of special things about him, right? So let's start out with whoever has the blue eggs, hold them up. If you have a blue egg, hold them up. Because there's one. I want you to open your egg. Can you open your egg? Okay, what's in that egg? What is it? Is it a baby? A baby in swaddling cloth, huh? What do you think that baby is?
Jesus.
The baby is Jesus. Good job, all you guys who answered that. The baby is Jesus. You know what's so important about baby Jesus? You grow up, yeah. I've got a big word for you, and you probably don't know what it means, but it's called incarnation. Incarnation. Jesus was God as a human being. And there were a lot of unique things that happened around the birth of Jesus. There were a lot of prophecies that were spoken by prophets hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. And these prophecies were accurate. They actually told different things about Jesus when he was to be born. He was to be from the line of David. He was to be from the family of Jesse. There were supposed to be gifts given to him. And you remember what gifts were given to him? What were the three gifts given to him?
Gold.
Frankincense. What was it? Frankincense? Okay, and the third one was? Myrrh, good job. Gold, you remember the kings coming to baby Jesus and offering him gifts? There were prophecies about that. There are prophecies about him being born in the city of Bethlehem. Jesus' birth was very unique because he was God who became human. And you would expect that if God were to become human, there would be some very unique things about him, right? Let's open up the second egg. Hold up, who has the pink eggs? Who has the pink eggs? Okay, there's one, and where's the other pink egg? Who has the other one? Open up the light pink egg. Angel, open that one up. What is in there? A bird, and it's a white bird. What kind of bird do you think that is?
A dove.
Is that what you're going to say? A dove? A dove, yeah, a dove. And what's so important about the dove? Do you remember an important event in Jesus' life where there was a dove? Do you remember? What? That's Noah, but what about Jesus? When Jesus was baptized, did something happen? Okay, there was a dove that came down upon him, right? You remember that? Remember the story, Jesus being baptized? The dove comes down and God speaks and says, "This is my son." Willie, you did really sit up here. Thank you. All right. I told him he could if he was a child. Wanted to join them. This was Jesus' inauguration. What does inauguration mean? That means that when he got baptized, he was going to start his ministry. You know how many years he did his ministry for? 3 years. He did his ministry for 3 years. But this is what John says. John says, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am. For he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove." Good job. "Like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." Okay? So Jesus' inauguration was very unique and very special. That's when he began his ministry. All right, who has the yellow eggs? Hold them up. Light yellow one. Open that up. What's in there? Chalk. Now, there's only one person that I know that uses chalk. Who uses chalk? Who sits on the stands in front of the class and writes on a board? Teacher, right? Teacher, you know what was special about Jesus? Is he had special instruction. Given instruction, he had special teaching. He taught in such a unique way. He was just an ordinary carpenter from a small town in an area that was not very popular. And so they didn't think that Jesus had a lot of education. But when Jesus spoke, there was authority and there was power behind what he said. Matthew says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things," this is the Sermon on the Mount, "when he finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law." So Jesus uniquely taught. Okay? Who has the light green egg? There's two green eggs. Who has the light one? There's the light one. Open that up. Open your egg up and tell me what's in there. What is that? It's food. What kind of food? Is it a fish and a piece of bread? Does that sound familiar, a fish and piece of bread? Jesus fed the 5,000. You know what was another amazing thing about Jesus? Is that his miracles authenticated his ministry and his teaching to mankind. You're distracting me, little one. That's mine, too. Jesus performed all sorts of miracles, didn't he? Can you name some of the miracles that he performed? What? He helped the blind man see. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised a little girl from the dead. Yes, he healed the girl that was bleeding for 12 years. Jesus made the blind see. Yep, one more. You remember? Yep, she healed him. How about he turned the water to wine? You remember that one? Yeah, okay. Jesus did a lot of miracles. You know why he did a lot of miracles? Because he wanted people to see that his authority and power was truly from God. It says in Hebrews, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders, which are miracles, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose." All right, who has the purple egg, the light purple egg? That one right there. Open that one up. This one might be kind of hard. Do you know what that is? You know what it is? You wash yourself with it. Soap. It is. It's kind of weird soap, huh? Why is it kind of weird? What does it have on it? It has a heart on it, right? Do you remember Jesus? You know, Jesus didn't just teach. He didn't just perform miracles, but he also demonstrated what he taught. He also you know what demonstrated means? What does demonstrate mean? He told people and he showed people, right? His own actions showed people. And one of the greatest acts of love, besides being crucified for us, was when he went to his disciples and he took soap and he took water and he did what? You remember? Washed his feet. He washed his disciples' feet. See that picture right up there? The one on the left here? That picture is a picture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And what's so important about that is that Jesus, who was God in the flesh, we just talked about that, right? He was God in the flesh. He got down on his knees and he served his disciples because he wanted them to turn around and serve others too. So his demonstration was unique as well. Who has the blue egg now, the dark blue one? You have the dark blue one, Faith? Open that one up. What's in that one? A cross. What do you think the cross stands for? He what?
I died.
He died. His crucifixion, right? Yeah? That was the ultimate act of love. He not only washed his disciples' feet, but then he died on the cross for us. And do we know why he died on the cross for us? Why did he die on the cross for us? So that we could live. What was wrong with us before? Sin. We had sin, didn't we? And where does sin lead? Death. It leads to death. So Jesus loved us so much. So his death was unique. Not because he died on a cross. That was a unique death. But also because his death, he died for the entire world. Not just a few people, but everybody in the world, right? Okay, so who has the pink egg? Where's the pink one? No, the dark pink. You have it? Can you open that up? Nothing's in there. What happened?
I don't know.
You don't know? Is there a reason why it's empty?
Yeah, Jesus was in the cave.
Okay, Jesus was in the cave, and what happened? He was in the tomb, and what happened?
He was there.
He rose, his resurrection. He rose from the grave. Good job. He rose from the grave, didn't he? And what's so important about that? Why is that important to remember that he rose from the grave? Does it show us that he has some type of power? Power over what?
Death.
He has power over death. Everything that he has been teaching, everything that he'd been demonstrating, when he was resurrected, it was a sign that showed us that what he was saying was true. Jesus really had power over sin and death. All right, who has the yellow egg? Open that one up. What's in there? Cotton. What does that look like? Does it look like something up in the sky or something like that? But a cloud. It looks like a cloud. Was Jesus ever up in the clouds?
No.
No, he wasn't? Yeah, he was. When? When was he up in the clouds?
When he
went to heaven. We call that the ascension. Jesus rose up into heaven. Why did he rise up into heaven? Because he was God. And after his mission on earth, after his ministry on earth was done, he went up into heaven.
Yeah.
But before he went up to heaven, he promised us something. Somebody know what he promised us? What? Oh, who has the green egg? The green egg. Open that one up. Now, don't play with this, okay? Can I see that? What is that? What is that? This is the only time you're allowed to touch this. Never touch this. Yes, it's a fire stick. You're right. Okay? And why did I put a match in there? What's on top of this match right now?
Fire.
Do you remember there was a point in the disciples' lives where there was fire? Does anybody remember?
Yeah.
They were sitting in the upper room after Jesus left, and they were praying, and this huge wind came, and it shook the house, and all of a sudden, fire appeared above the heads of the disciples.
Yeah, and that was the fire of the sword, because Jesus got hurt.
Oh, yes. The tongues of fire. Well, Why did that happen? What was given to the disciples? He lives inside of us. Who is that? Who lives inside of us?
God.
God, but there's God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Jesus left, but he didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us to fend for ourselves. Jesus left, and he sent the Holy Spirit in his place. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And now Jesus' ministry, guess where Jesus' ministry now? Guess who's doing Jesus' ministry now?
We are.
Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Each one of you guys, the Holy Spirit is now living in you and helping you do the ministry that Jesus did. What is the ministry of Jesus? What are we supposed to be doing? Sharing the Word of God. Sharing the good news. Amen. Jesus was a pretty special guy, wasn't he? Very unique, wasn't he? In fact, there's no one like Jesus, was there? Okay? All right, you guys can go sit down. Here, take a piece of candy. Yeah, give the eggs to Tanya. And Kimberly, you want to hold that? Take a piece of candy back to the seat with you. Okay? Thank you guys for being so good. Jesus was a very unique individual. There was no one in history like Jesus. It's important for us today to remember the uniqueness of Jesus. Not only did he resurrect from the grave, but as we've gone through all this, his incarnation, man who was God at the same time, his inauguration, the baptism, who showed not only that he was from God to do ministry, but at the same time, it also showed the triune nature of God, did it not? The Spirit came down in the form of dove. God spoke and Jesus was there, the three-in-one present all together. We looked at his instruction, his powerful teaching, very unique teaching. He taught in such a powerful manner. He spoke in parables, and the parables spoke to the heart of the people. And his teaching was with authority, his authentication, his miracles. No one did miracles like Jesus. And you know what the cool thing is most of the time when there are miracle workers, they do the same thing over and over and over. They do the same miracle, and they have a set way of doing it, right? You know what I'm talking about? But Jesus, if you read through Scripture, Jesus never did any of the miracles the same way. He always did it differently. And that, I think, showed the true power of Jesus. Very unique in how he did his miracles, his demonstration. He never taught without showing through his actions what he was talking about. Love for God, love for people. His crucifixion, the ultimate act of love. His resurrection, the ultimate act of power and victory for the sin, for our sins. The ascension, returning to the Father, leaving the Holy Spirit with us. These are all unique things about Jesus. And this morning, I want us to remember this. Those of us who are Christians, it's good to stop and remember these things about Jesus, because it confirms to us just why we believe what we believe, does it not? Nobody else in history was like Jesus. And you can look at other men and other religions, and I honestly don't think none of them compare to Jesus. And not only that, there is ample proof that Jesus was here on earth and that Jesus died and was resurrected. 400 individuals saw him after he died. Thomas touched the nails in his hand. And then when the Gospels were written, they were written within the lifetime of people who had seen Jesus. And they, I guarantee you, if lies were going around about Jesus, people would have stepped forward and they would have been sure to squash all those lies. Jesus is a unique individual. And because he is such a unique individual, it requires a response on our part, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no one who has access to God like Jesus and who can give access to God. Jesus is the gate by which we must enter to have a relationship with God. Jesus said, for the wages of sin are death. All of us sin. All of us are separated God from our actions, our not only just our actions, but our attitudes and our intentions. So we've been separated from God. Jesus is the only one that repairs that relationship, offers a bridge. So this morning, I'm calling for a response. I'm calling for a response from those who are Christians and those who are not Christians. What kind of a response do we need? First off, believe. We need to believe. The key to a restored relationship with God is salvation. and eternal life. Believe. You know what we also call this? We also call this repent. Repent means to change your mind. All of us had a point in our life where we were just living for ourselves. And some of you are in that point in your life right now where you're just living for yourself. You're not living for God. You don't recognize God's power. You don't recognize His authority. You don't recognize that Jesus has a free gift of salvation to offer. And so you're living on your own. And Jesus calls us to repent. He calls us to change our thinking. Because He wants us to surrender ourselves to Him and receive His free gift of salvation. We believe, we need to confess. A lot of times we think confess, when it comes to initial hearing about Jesus, that we got to come up with all the sins that we've ever committed and throw them at Jesus' feet. You know what? Jesus knows what sins we've committed, right? And Jesus wants us just to confess that we are not in charge of our lives. We are not in control of our lives. We cannot save ourselves. The only one that can save us is Him alone. So we need to believe that He is who He is. We need to confess to Him that we're sinners and that we are in need of Him. And then we need to surrender. We need to turn our lives over to Him. We need to give them to Him. Not only do we receive Him as Savior, but we ought to receive Him as our Master as well, because He knows the perfect way we ought to be living our life. And He demonstrated it for us. So we need to surrender ourselves to Him. We need to receive that gracious gift of forgiveness that He offers, receive salvation, and receive His authority. And finally, we need to transform ourselves. Transform ourselves into the person that He wants us to be. Now, I say transform ourselves. I guess that's not right. We need to be transformed now that we have the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When you receive Christ's free gift of salvation and you receive His authority, He places the Holy Spirit within you. He places the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit enables us to start living the life that God wants. Our minds are renewed, and we begin to change. Again, because we're changing, this too is called repentance. God brings up sins in our life. He shows us where we're going wrong, even after we've received Him as our Lord and Savior. He shows us what we're doing wrong, and He says, listen, I want you to work on that. And when He reveals it to us, we say, God, you're right. I've been doing that, and I'm sorry. Confess it. And then I'm going to turn around. I'm going to turn my life around in this area and start walking a different direction. Right? So there's believe, confess, surrender, receive, transform. We at KCC, we have these four D's that we believe are part of the discipleship process. How do we transform? We devote our life to God. We devote ourselves to worshiping God. We come on Sunday morning. We spend the week finding ways to worship God. We worship God with our life. We devote ourselves to God. We develop in our Christ-likeness. We get involved in a discipleship group and small groups where instruction and teaching take place. We read the Bible. We do the work of the ministry. We put into action, just like Jesus did. When He taught, He put it into action. He wants us, when we learn, to put what we've learned into action. So we do the work of the ministry, and then we turn around and we do what is we help others do what has been being done in our lives, and we disciple others. As we are being discipled, we disciple others. This is the way we transform our life. Jesus is a unique individual. He is the only one that offers such a unique call. And He's the only one that we believe can bring life, can bring salvation, can change us from the inside out. It requires a response. And this morning, I want to give us an opportunity to respond. I don't do this that often, but this morning, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I hope that Jesus has been tugging at your heart, especially if you don't know Him. Last night, I could not sleep, and I just stayed up for a while praying that God would be speaking to people here in the service this morning. And if it is your desire this morning to receive Jesus' free gift of salvation and submit your life to Him, and you've never done so before, I'd just like you to slip up your hand real quick and just show me that this is your decision. If anybody has ever made that decision, just slip up your hand real quick. I hope that everybody here has made that decision. Nobody's raised their hand, and that's fine. I hope that everybody here has made that decision. Will you pray after me? I want us to reaffirm our commitment to Jesus. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I believe that you are God in the flesh. I believe that you are Savior. And I believe that you are Master. Lord, I want to receive you. And I confess that I can't do it without you. I want to surrender myself to you. And I want to be changed and renewed. Thank you so much for your love, your grace, your goodness, your kindness. You are wonderful. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray that everyone here does know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you don't, and you're just kind of afraid to raise your hand, but God has been gnawing on your heart there, pricking your heart, I pray that you would get with someone that you know who is a Christian and you would talk to them. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for being a part of remembering just what Jesus did for us. Amen. 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 He is risen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next week. Amen.